Hello and welcome to episode 35 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. And Sim, we are one step forward, as the Boilermakers did what they had to do. You know, the cliche when it comes to March is just survive in advance. And that's pretty much what it felt like earlier today, as the Boilermakers advanced to the round of 32. With a 75-63 win against High Point, a game that was pretty close for a while, and then kind of late, Purdue was able to restretch the lead back out. I think they had a lead as big as 10, and then late was able to stretch it out to 12. But Sim, it was kind of a game where we said you're gonna need other guys to step up. You know what you're going to get from Braden and Trey, but you needed those other guys to step up, and man, did they.
Yeah, man. We talked about that, even dating back to the Big Ten tournament. We've talked about it at, various points of the year about what happens when you get contributions from the guys off the bench, as we've dubbed them the others, when you get contributions from them in terms of how it raises the ceiling for this team and what they can do. And, I was thoroughly impressed, man. Everyone who came off the bench was they played phenomenally. I mean, the fact, like we were talking about, before we recorded, looking at the box score, the bench gives you 22 points and 22 boards. Like if you're getting that, we're getting that from the bench. It's not because like you don't expect Fletch and Braden to combine to go 7 of 23 every game. So if you're getting something along the lines of again 20 and 20 off your bench, like you like the chances of what this Purdue team can of where this Purdue team can go. And yeah, it was really, really nice to see, man. I mean, Cam, having a double-double, 11 and 10. Will Berg, he had those 10 minutes and he played really well. I mean, he had two fouls, but like honestly, both of the foul calls were bullshit. But he had, he had good minutes. He had really good minutes. Jakari coming in, he had 8 rebounds in 14 minutes. And Miles, he had 4 points, he had 2 boards, and obviously he had two really good when he had the putback dunk. But his energy was great. You just it was really, really it was nice to see, and it was necessary because I don't think that we beat High Point without literally every contribution that those guys off the bench gave us.
Yeah, like you said, it was just really good to see kind of all those guys step up. And even though he only played 9 minutes, even Caleb, made the one shot he took, got a couple of rebounds, defended well. And we'll talk about the individual guys, but just kind of as a team as a whole, a couple things wanted to hit on. One, specifically because I know you mentioned it in the last pod that we did, and it seemed like a major 180 from the game against Michigan, where you kind of pointed out how we just looked a little sluggish, and kind of just late to the ball. And man, did this look like a totally different team, because they played with a lot of energy, a lot more active. I don't know if it was those extra days of rest, or just kind of the adrenaline boost you probably get playing in the actual NCAA tournament. I don't know what it was, but whatever it is, hopefully they channel that energy again come this weekend, because that's the type of energy and play that we're going to need from everybody on the roster.
Absolutely, man. This is the time of year, like you said at the top, about how this is a time where it's really like survive in advance. But it's all hands on deck, man. And especially with the way that the better part of the last 2 months has gone for this team, you need everyone. You need everyone. This isn't gonna be something where you turn and point and be like, oh, we can count on Braden, Fletch, and TKR to score upwards of 70 points, and we can just be here for the vibes. No, like. Everyone needs to do everything. Everyone needs to be crashing the boards. Everyone needs to be kind of looking to attack, looking to score. If you have a mismatch and you can, then there's a good shot to be had. You need to be taking those shots, and obviously we want to be knocking them down as well. Yeah, it just, especially I can't help but look at the rebounding numbers, and that to me is where I know like okay, like these guys were locked in. I mean, they had we had we out rebounded them 45-24. We had more defensive rebounds than they had total. We had 26 defensive rebounds. They had 24 rebounds total. And you know, for a team that doesn't have necessarily the size that we're used to, to have that type of performance on the boards, it is it's extremely encouraging. And obviously, your hope is that like guys understand, you know, hey, we like it has to be everyone. It's not going to be one guy who we can just kind of look at and be like, oh, he's just gonna clean up the glass. It's like, no, we all have to go there. Shot goes up, find your man, you know, box out, go get the rebound. So yeah, it just. Yeah, it was really good, man. It was just nice to see just that collective effort. You mentioned too, even with Caleb, you know, he only played those 9 minutes, but you know, we were talking about it offline. Like, I think he only played those 9 minutes because of the production you were getting from Cam and Will Berg. You know, if they like them coming in and giving you good minutes, just kind of allowed you to okay, we can just ride with this. Yeah, so you know, total team effort, and that's what we're gonna need. That's what we needed. That's what we'll continue to need. And yeah, we just hope that's the same case on Saturday.
Yeah, and Cam actually played the third highest minutes out of
Everyone.
anybody,
Yeah. Even play more than Trey.
which is pretty impressive. It helped, you know, him starting this second half, which I thought was kind of interesting. But you know, let's talk about Cam a little bit because you know, he's a guy that's really started, you know, there were signs of life of him kind of returning to the early season form. Recently, I think it was the USC game in the Big Ten tournament, and then maybe UCLA game. One of those home games where he really shot the ball well. And man, just, you know, really happy for Cam because it's been kind of an up and down year. You know, he started off blistering from three, and then really struggled to find his shot early in the Big Ten year. But man, has he bounced back? And you know, he's a guy who you kind of always want more just because of like the glimpses that he can give you. But man, if you can get the type of performance, and obviously you're probably not going to get a double double every game, but just the energy that he has really shown, you know, you could argue that he's kind of turned into the best rebounder on the team.
He damn sure has been showing glimpses of it, man, of being that like rebounding guy, you know, 'cause Paint would be talking about how like we have to have more guys who are trying to rebound, and I feel like, yeah, there was another game. I don't want to say, maybe it wasn't Rutgers. There was another game towards the end of the regular season where he had like 11 rebounds. I think he had like 9 and 11. And that might have been the game you were referring to earlier, but like he showed you the signs again. Like I think, you know, much like with Miles, his whole thing has just been kind of like a consistency thing. But like you said, it seems as though he's really been able to kind of turn things around towards that back half of the back the like the rather the latter stages of the Big Ten season. Because there was a point where I think he was shooting like 16% from three. I mean, he couldn't even buy a bucket. I think he I remember I think at the Minnesota game he pulled a three and I think it hit like every part of the rim and then finally like and then went in. And it was kind of like, dude, like even the ones he makes are we're holding our breath. So it's been really nice to see things turn for him. And like you said, and you want to see that continue because he shows you these glimpses of like, damn, all right, like he has the ability of like, you know, not just being a high flyer, but also being someone who can actually be a high flyer offensively, but being able to crash the boards defensively. He's played better. And then if he's knocking down shots as well, like, yeah, that's a guy who you're gonna want to put out on the floor more because you feel confident in terms of his matchups really both ways in terms of what he can do for you on both sides of the ball. So it's been like he had a stellar performance, man. He had a stellar performance. I mean, out of his 10 rebounds, six defensive, but four offensive. And sometimes I feel like he's been getting rebounds that like you don't think anybody's gonna get. Like the ball, like the you know, a shot goes up, it misses kind of weird. And so it like it caroms off and it, you know, bounce it's looking like it's gonna bounce out of bounds. And there goes Cam, who like gets it and flings it back in and then, you know, perfectly back to the top of the key, and then we just start running some stuff all over again. So yeah, man, just shout out to Cam.
Yeah, he played really, really well. And you can just see how the offense flows better when he's out there. With Trey, there's just so much more spacing. And you saw it a little bit in the first half where like High Point wasn't even guarding Caleb when he was out there, and it really kind of bogged some things down. But when you have guys like Cam and Miles who can really help stretch the floor, it just opens it up so much more. But another guy too who I wanted to just highlight because we were joking during the game, Sim, that him and Fletch tied in the first half with 4 points each. And if you would have told me that Wilberg and Fletcher Loyer would have had the same amount of points in the first half against High Point, I would not have guessed that we would be up by 10 at half. But, Will came in and really just took advantage of the opportunity, was really solid on the glass. I thought he was really solid defensively too. He had that foul, one of the worst foul calls I've ever seen this year.
Well, dude, like
They
leans
called
into,
him.
dude leans into him and then proceeds to like wrap around him with his like with his right elbow, and as he's like trying to
I
go up for a
don't
shot, and somehow that's a foul on Berg. That was cool. Sports.
know where that came from, but Will Berg in 10 minutes was two of two from the field, two rebounds, drew two fouls, didn't miss the free throw, but just gave you just a little spark there. And it was during a key point in the first half, it felt like too, where it was when we needed a little spark, and he was there to really kind of help out.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, he came in. I think he might have come in when Trey might have picked up his second. And you're right, he gave a really good spark. I mean, like his second basket was that put back at the end of the first half. And you could see just from the energy of it, not just himself, because he like, he kind of he yelled afterwards. But like you could see the other guys who were like, yeah, like, and it kind of like reverberated through the team. He had one phenomenal defensive possession where I think they're one of their bigs tried to get him into the post and shot a fadeaway. He contested it beautifully. The shot misses, and then he's the one who grabs the rebound. Like I was like, oh bro, like two scoops, yes. Like that was great. So yeah, man, and just to be able to get again, like he's just part of the overarching theme with in terms of the bench of like having being able to plug in a guy and for him to play that well, it's really good. And I think it makes you feel comfortable. It makes you feel a bit more comfortable. Like, look, if I gotta throw, if we gotta put him in the next game, like I trust that you can go out there and you can play the way we need you to. I mean, he didn't seem. I think at times I've watched him play and he seems so sped up, and that can happen when you're not getting like consistent minutes, but. Today, he very much so seemed like everything was moving at a speed that he was like that he could process and like, yep, I'm cool with this. I can operate here. And if this, and again, if this is the turn in the Wilberg, story arc, I'm down. But yeah, it just was really good from him too. So yeah, I'm glad we're giving him a shout out as well, because it was 10 minutes, but like if you watch that game, you know how big of a 10 minutes that was that he gave you.
Yeah, most definitely. And before we talk about Braden and Trey, I did want to highlight two other guys, and I feel like they kind of can be talked about together because I feel like their play was very important in the win. They didn't like light up the scoring sheet, but they both were extremely active. And that's Miles and Jakari. Jakari pulled down a career high 8 rebounds in 14 minutes, only finished with 3 points. It was a big three that he hit,
It's a
but
huge three,
only
yeah.
finished with those three. And then Miles was 2 of 7 from the field, had a 2 rebounds. Again, not like eye-dropping stats, but their impact on the game was one where you can't just go off the box score. They both defended well. I thought, like we said, were very active, and just really kind of were what you need from guys coming off the bench, giving you that energy, and giving you that boost.
No, I agree, man. I think about a sequence from Miles where a sequence from Miles where he gets the putback dunk on, I think Cam missed the three on like the left wing. Cam misses the three, he gets the putback dunk. High points bringing the ball right back up. 10 seconds go by. Dude tries to drive into the lane. Miles causes the steal. They get the ball to Brayden. Fast break the other way. Brayden passes it back to Miles, who is kind of a little bit ahead. Miles tries to, do a reverse layup. He misses. Cam gets the putback. But like that sequence, there's a lot of miles in that. You know what I mean? In terms of, and that to me, that's a kind of the sequence that embodies in terms of like the energy and his activity and how that impacted the game. I think the same can be said with Jakari. Jakari might have had a sequence, I think, where he had like two or three rebounds on the same possession. And just like those are the that that's again that's the type of play, that's the type of activity that we need from guys. And I love it for each one of them. I love it for them collectively. It just yeah and just it was yeah I'm very glad, like, yeah, of course, like we had to talk about them each individually, even though with Miles and Jakari we're kind of lumping those two together. But yeah, I mean, even though their stats from a scoring standpoint don't necessarily reflect like a big impact, they if you watch the game, they passed the eye test and they passed it with flying colors.
Most definitely. And I gotta say, man, I don't know what it is, but I feel like Miles has to lead the country in block shots on a fast break that he gets called for fouls. It seems like there's at least one a game where Miles times up on defense perfectly and blocks a fast break layup and gets called for a foul every time. I don't know what it is,
It feels
but
like the
man, I feel bad for him.
it feels like the refs are like it's more of an anticipation call. Like they just think like,
Every
oh, the
time.
contact's gonna be that kind of way. Because I know the one you're talking about. Yeah, like we're going if we're watching the screen and going from left to right, and I think it was on a turnover, and he hits size dude up, and he goes up straight up, and he just winds up like with the right hand and pins it. And it was I think it was the guy who was driving his it was his left arm that I think was on Miles, and somehow that was a foul on Miles. I'm like, all right, well. Cool, like don't play defense. You're right. Like I don't know how many times this year we've watched him make a good defensive play and get called for a foul. I don't know, guys,
Yeah,
that's
that's got to be
shit
super.
luck.
It really is. As we kind of wrap up High Point and look ahead to McNeese, we got to talk both about Brayden and Trey too, because obviously those are kind of the two guys that drive this thing. And I think the perfect sequence to talk about, the impact and kind of the what level of play they give us. I can't remember if we were up two or three, with about 5 or 6 minutes left in the game. And Trey hits a nasty turnaround Dirk Nowitzki type jumper. We get a stop, and then Brayden comes down, hits a layup, and all of a sudden we got the lead back up to three possessions. It just I felt like that was the swing in the game, and it just kind of felt like those two were like, all right, we've had enough. We're gonna make sure that we get this lead stretched back out.
Yeah, no, I think that's when I feel like that's your guy. That's two guys who just recognize the moment and understand that, like, no, we have to, at the hour we're needed most, it's time for us to make a play. And, for Brayden to put his head down, get that layup. Yeah, TKR was in the post and he didn't have anywhere to go. And so he just kind of, again, with the kudos to him on the footwork, because he just reverse pivots. And then all of a sudden, yeah, it's a one step fadeaway. And I'm thinking he's going to airball the shit out of that. And then it just snaps the net. And I was like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing. And you're right, too, is at a time when you needed to get points. Like you needed to get points. You needed to get that score. You needed to get that bucket. You get a stop. You come back and you get another bucket. And again, yeah, like you said, you give yourself some breathing room. Another, like, okay, cool. And yeah, it was nice. It's nice to see guys who, especially with Brayden, who wasn't necessarily having the best night, but to understand the moment and know that, like, look, at this time, like, we're here. It's on me to help us get, drag this thing over the line.
And so Brayden finished with 20 points and 6 assists. He also had 3 rebounds and 2 steals. But wanted to specifically highlight those assists because with that last assist in the game, he surpassed his own record he set last year for most assists in a season with 293 now. So obviously did it in a couple less games too, which is pretty impressive for a guy who I was told last year could only get assists because he dumped it down low to Edie. Seems to be doing all right this year with that.
He's decent. He's decent. It's crazy that he, it's just again, just another episode where we're out here talking about something Braden's done, and now it's at least now it's just him versus him.
Yeah, now he's just breaking his own records at this
Right.
point.
Yeah, I mean now it's gonna really get boring. Yeah, man. His scoring numbers weren't as great, but obviously with the assists and just kind of the way that he continues to get us in the offense and get us kind of going. Just remarkable, yeah. I think he proved a lot of people wrong by saying that. A lot of people have been like, "Oh, well, you just dove down to Edie and you score," and it's like, okay, well, you don't really have that. I mean, you have Trey, but Trey's not that he's not Zach, and also just in terms of the pieces around him, they're not necessarily the same as last year. So the fact that he's still been able, despite that, to and with more attention on himself, I think, like defensively, there's more attention on him. The fact he's been able to do that is very, very impressive.
And I have to bring it up one more time because it gets me upset every time. But I don't know how anybody who watches basketball doesn't put Trey as an All-American on any of those lists. I don't know if anybody watched any of the other games that went on today, but a certain big man from Kansas who was on a made third team All-American over Trey. Played like doo-doo all game, and their team lost in the first round again. So I don't know, man. Not sure how you justify that, but I didn't get a vote. So
I think we'll get
just
the
wanted to
answer.
point that out.
I think we'll get that answer the same time we get the answer about why Indy Cats left Braden Smith as the only first team All-American out of his top 10 people in the tourney, because that makes all the fucking sense. So we got some real
But
basketball
he put
savants out here, man. We got some real
of
savants out here.
and this is no knock on Chucky Hepburn, but how Chucky Hepburn makes a list over Braden Smith. And I just pointed him out specifically because they both play guard, and I was like, well, if you're gonna like really put him over Braden,
I
and
think he
then
was in. Well, I
they
was
go
gonna
out and
say, in
get
like,
blown up.
right. Well, and it's not even my bad. It's not even like Chucky Hepburn. Like, I think he was like honorable mention All America. So like, it's not even like that. He's like a bad. Like you said, it's not even a knock at him. But it's like, bro, if you're gonna talk about like if I'm talking to Andy Katz, I'm like, if you're gonna put a guard on your top 10, it feels like the default would have to be the one or two that are on the first team All America, like. How like yeah, I don't know. I thought that was interesting. And I also think it's interesting that both the people you talked about lost today. So
Weird how that happens, but
strays, well, stray to Chucky, but I mean honestly a direct shot at your boy.
who played his last game in college after like 9 years.
Think he's vested
Not a
now.
lot of wins. Not a lot of wins with those, but I digress. Let's look ahead
You're
now.
handling it beautifully.
So with the win, and then probably the biggest upset of the tournament, on day one, McNeese State as the 12 seed, really knocked off Clemson. And if you didn't get a chance to watch it, it was kind of a tale of two different games from about 35 minutes to the last 5 minutes, where McNeese State just absolutely dominated Clemson for those first 35 minutes. Clemson scored 13 points in the first half, which is just crazy. Like 13 points in 20 minutes from a team. That's just,
From the five seed.
I don't know how that happens. But then in the last 5 minutes of the game, all of a sudden Clemson turned into like the Warriors team with Klay, Steph, and KD and couldn't miss, and got it down. They had it down to four. They scored a layup with like 2 seconds left, I think, as time expired,
Oh,
to
man, so I lost by
knock it
two.
down to two. But yeah, so McNeese State upsets Clemson. So again, another high seed mid-major team to play, so stress level stays high.
Stays
Not like
exactly
it was
where
going
it's
to go
at,
down
folks.
anyway.
It stays exactly where it's at.
Let's be honest, it didn't matter who they played, the stress level was going to be there. But you know, now it's just one of those things, man, where it's like Purdue against the world again, because everybody's going to be rooting for the underdog. You know, they got the little manager guy who everybody's rallying behind. And so they're kind of the feel-good story after day one. So again, you're probably going to see a lot of teams have McNeese State picked as an upset. They're going to be the Cinderella pick, Sweet 16. But like we talked about with High Point, Sim, this is just another game where it feels like if Purdue does the things that Purdue needs to do, they should win the game.
Yep, I would agree. I would agree. I think it's the exact same thing. I think it's going to be more about what I think it'll be more about what Purdue does than it than I guess what McNeese State does. Like I feel like if we come out and we play more so with the desperation and just the hey, like we're Purdue. So like yeah, if we play like that, I think you know again I don't think it'll be like a runaway, but I think I think it can be another game where. You kind of always have control of it, and there's a they might bring it back to a couple possessions, but then you again at the time you need to be able to get stops or to get buckets when you need them, stretch the lead back out, and I can see a situation where Purdue's able to to win by between 6 and maybe 10 points, but it's gonna be yeah it's just again it's gonna require the same level of detail. I mean, and honestly, it requires even at bare minimum what you had today. I think it'll require even a bit more because we can agree that there are some things that happened today that were like okay yeah you need better from like you need better from Braden and Fletch. You can't have Braden shooting 6 of 19, but also you could say about the free throws as well. You can't have Trey going 1 of 5, 14 of 22 as a team. Probably want to do better than that, but. There's a way here. There's a very reasonable, rational way at which Purdue can beat McNeese State. And yeah, we have to make peace with the fact that it's probably not going to be a beatdown, and we're going to stress. That's why you're saying like stress levels were always going to be high. But yeah, man, I do have I have the faith in this team that they can go out and they can get this one as well.
Yeah, and just looking at kind of the box score from the game today for McNeese State, it's very interesting. So they only played eight guys, and their leading scorer was a dude off the bench, Brandon Murray, who dropped 21 points. But then if you look like in his past few games before that, he had 4, 11, 0, and 5. So, you know, the 21 points kind of, to me, just looking at that kind of comes out of nowhere. The thing looking at their box score, though, that really scares me is DJ Richards, a guard for them who averages 10 points a game, had a abysmal shooting game, was 0 of 7 from 3, 1 of 8
That's
from the
not good.
field.
Yeah, that's not good.
So, you know, as Purdue fans, go
Take
ahead and
his
chalk
overs.
him up. He's going for 20 probably.
Take his overs.
But you know, they didn't really shoot lights out against Clemson. They only hit 4 threes. They were 4 of 19 from three, 11 of 22 from the free throw line. They shot 27 of 62 from the field. So, you know, it wasn't like they just came out and lit the world on fire offensively. You know, just looking at that, you gotta think, you gotta feel kind of better about you know, the how Purdue would match up with them. But to your point and kind of what we talked about, it doesn't really mean shit if you come out and play flat. Like, you got to come out with that energy, with that activeness that they played. But you know, it does seem like you're gonna be in the game. Like, it doesn't seem like McNeese is just gonna come out and like just light you up from the
Yeah.
field.
No, I mean, knock on wood. Yeah, but
Right.
I agree. I think like, 'cause that was a thing in its own way. I kind of, when I was watching the their game today against Clemson, like they were up 18 and a half, and like, yeah, like you pointed out, Clemson only scored 13 points, but I more so looked at it like, but they've only scored 31. So it wasn't like they was, like they were like bombing them, because like there's a scenario there where if they're really on, yeah, they held you to 13 points, but like they put up 50 on you, and this looks like, yeah, this looks like some real like non-conference basketball. Like that was like, it was as much as I was like, man, like they really are like cutting off, Clemson's water. And I know Clemson was also missing a lot of shots. I also kind of saw it like, all right, well, like it doesn't look like they're necessarily going to run away from you. Like you're going to get into like a track meet, which I think can bode well for us as well. Of like, it's not like you're playing like a team like Alabama who likes to run and like will put up upwards of 100 points if you're slacking, and if they're on from, and if they're if you're slacking defensively and if you're on offensively. Like this seems like, hey man, if we can score between 70 and 80 points and we play a certain, play our brand of basketball on both sides of the ball, like you should be, that should be enough. That should be enough to get the job done. 'Cause yeah, I, but that I noticed that DJ Richards thing, and also I was looking at their stats, like their overall stats for like their team stats. It makes me individuals, and he's their best 3-point shooter too. He shoots like, I think it's like 43% from
Oh, he's most definitely hitting like 5 threes,
right. He's gonna
in
come.
the
He's gonna
first
come out tomorrow. Watch. He's gonna come out on Saturday, and he's gonna splash like two or three in the first like
half.
4 minutes. So yeah, that'll be cool. But yeah, I
Yeah,
think
man,
there's a way.
it'll be interesting. Like, I feel like you can make the argument just kind of looking at, like, to me, High Point was probably a better offensive team. I think McNeese State is a way better defensive team. And so if Purdue defends the way that they did today, I think they'll be in good shape. To your point, I think this could be a game where the first one to 70 points wins. I don't necessarily think it's going to be a big time shootout. But at there's not looking at it, there's nothing that really jumps out as like any type of mismatch on either side. I think Purdue will have the two best players on the court. And so anytime you have that, you got to feel pretty good about that. And so, they're set up. Now, granted, you got to take care of business, but set up for a pretty good opportunity to get to the second weekend and get back home to Indianapolis.
Yeah, no, I think anytime you go in as a single digit seed in the tourney, and if someone tells you your first two games are going to be against a double digit seed, of course you see like, oh, okay, like we clearly have, well, there clearly be an opportunity here for us. I think you're right. I don't necessarily, I guess my level of concern is really the same as it was for High Point, because High Point, I believe, what, they'd won 14 straight. I think McNeese State has won 19 straight. But from just a size matchup and whatnot, like you said, like, I mean, we're gonna have Braden and Trey. They're gonna have to, like, as much as we have to deal with them, they have to deal with us. They have to figure out a way to, especially like if Braden starts off hot again, like he did today, and God forbid he keeps it going. We present our own batch of problems as well. So I think like while they might have like some athleticism on us, and clearly, yes, they can defend well, we present our own batch of issues that they will have to deal with. And especially if they play defensively the way, if we play defensively the way that we did today, where I felt like our perimeter defense was just so much better, even in the moments where we were helping in the corners. I just felt like we were so connected. It was a lot better defensively than what we've seen as of late. You get that same type of defensive effort, yeah. Like I look at this game a lot like I look at the High Point game in terms of the keys and what will get the job done.
Yeah, I totally agree. It'll be a fun game. Like we said, the opportunity is right there for Purdue to make it to the next weekend, for another Sweet 16. But You got to go out there and take care of business. I don't know when the tip-off time will be comes Saturday. I don't believe it's been announced yet. I would imagine it will be on the earlier side probably, since they played the early games today. But you never know. But yeah, man, I think like we talked about, like with it being so similar to High Point, I think, like we talked about, like felt fairly confident, that Purdue would win somewhere in the 8 to 12 range. I think that's kind of where I'm at comes Saturday too with this McNeese State game.
I don't I'm sorry, I was looking at the I was looking at to see if the time it got announced and it hasn't yet. I don't know, man. I just want to win on Saturday. I feel like I keep repeating myself with like you gotta you have to you just the attention to detail, man, and just the collective effort from everyone. That's gonna be the thing that's gonna get you over the top. It's just fuck, I want to win now. Like I really want to win. I really do. My bad, I'm going off on a tangent right now.
No, you are, I'm right there with you. I think, like you said, you're gonna need a better game probably, obviously from Fletch. Even just from like just shoot it more. Like,
Right.
he's gonna have to take more than one three,
Yeah,
just to kind of
no.
stretch it out. I feel like we're gonna have to make more than five threes in the game. But you kind of know what you're gonna get from Trey. You kind of, know what you're gonna get from Braden. You hope it's gonna be more efficient game. He's kind of due for kind of a big, I wouldn't say breakout game, but one where, he knocks down three or four
He's
threes.
just he's due for a
And
better game from three. Yeah.
it kind of it has that feel to me. But we'll see what happens, man. You gotta
You'll
take
need those
care of
guys
business.
to, sorry, my bad. You'll need those guys to do what we know they can do. That's my thing. It might not be where all three of those guys have to have between Trey, TKR, and Fletch, where they all need to have 20. But like you said, like I don't want like Fletch can't take four shots. He can't take one three. Like he has to take more. You know, with Braden, it's like yeah, but like you know. He took 19 shots and that's good, but it's like we're gonna need you to make more. That's just, you know, the plain and simple of it. We need you to make more.
I think the biggest thing with this game is going to be the start of the game. We talked about it a little bit on the last pot against High Point, but I think it's even magnified more in this round against this Cinderella type team, is if you can just, knock them down from jump,
Right.
and just not let them hang around, because, they're already going to have the crowd behind them. They're already going to have the media buzz. These next 2 days for them is going to be off the charts. And everybody's going to be talking about McNeese State. And if they stick around, or if they get out to like an early lead, all of a sudden, the pressure really starts to build. So I think the start of the game is going to be massive. And we'll go a long way. Like, can we just get off to a good start,
Yeah.
or are we gonna let them hang around? And then it's really gonna be sweating time.
Right. You know, the sense of urgency has to be there from the jump. Like I feel like again, you know, I think back to Mark Few's comment about last year when he said like they're not being the like they're hunting. Like they're not being the ones getting hunted. They're the ones doing the hunting in terms of like the way we were going about it. Like, nope, pull up. Nope, gotta come get this win. That's how this has to be. I feel like that's the type of my that sense of urgency, like you, especially like you said, like that setting is going to be very much so leaning more towards like a road environment. And so if you have that sense of urgency from the jump, you're able to get the lead. and be able to kind of force them to have to like keep them, you know, at relative arm's length and kind of force them to have to continue to essentially try to be perfect to come catch you. That's like that's a good recipe for how to you know to bring this thing home. But the last thing you want is for them to come out and just jump on you, you know, get up by 10, and now the crowd's on you as well, and you know you're trying to you can it can kind of prompt you to almost press way too soon, you know. So yeah, I think the start of the game is going to be it's going to be very, very important. It's going to be very, very important, and hopefully we play with that same level of urgency that we came out with today.
Yeah, so we'll see. Like we said, we don't have a start time just yet, but it'll be sometime on Saturday. Purdue and McNeese State. I don't even know if there's a channel yet either. That's probably all got to get squared away. But as soon as we know, we will tweet it out. So make sure to be on the lookout for that. But you know, whatever happens, we'll be here to break it down. It could be really fun. We could be talking about a Sweet 16 headed to Indianapolis, or it could be not so fun, and we'll be talking about
A
the
recap.
season that was.
Right.
But win or lose, we'll be here. Want to thank everybody for all this support. Also, shout out to everybody who joined the ESPN Bracketology group. So good luck to everybody on there. That should be fun. A lot of trash talking there. I know I'm not doing very well starting off. Big shocker there. But shout out to everybody there. Want to thank everybody for all the reviews. But most important, everybody, let's get one more. Let's make it to the next weekend. Let's head to Indianapolis. And let's boil her up.
Yes, sir.